If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jake Fisher reports on the offer that the Bulls rumored made at the beginning of all season to Josh Giddey. We'll talk a little bit about that and also how he floated around that the Bulls could pivot back to Jonathan Kuminga next offseason. We're also going to talk about Sports Illustrated projecting a trade for Patrick Williams for RJ Barrett and how that could help the Chicago Bulls, but probably isn't going to happen. And then lastly, Chicago front office has reportedly been difficult to work with around the NBA. We're going to get to all that plus the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So yesterday late, Jake Fisher reported that the Bulls made a four-year, $80 million offer to Josh Giddey at the start of free agency. This isn't the first time we've basically heard this. This would be right around the reason why the $20 million valuation by the Chicago Bulls happened with Josh Giddey. Now, the thing is with this is this Jake Fisher reporting something that he's heard recently or kind of just piggybacking and doubling down on the fact that he reported earlier in last week about Josh Giddey that kind of sent the, you know, that everybody kind of reported on and talked about. Here's the thing, right? If the Bulls really did make that offer at the start of free agency, it is what it is, right? We are now over a month since the start of free agency. That's the thing that this all gets back down to, right? Like, forget the money and whatever else, Josh Giddey being at 30, Chicago Bulls being at 20. The fact of the matter is, all right, if you both went with your best offers or your best ask in this contract situation, the Bulls started at 20, Josh Giddey started at 30, the negotiation process at that point means that both teams have to come somewhat off their initial ask. Now, the leverage aspect of all of this, right? Like, that's the thing that you have to ask yourself, is that who holds the most leverage? I did talk about with the rumored, the Golden State Warriors being in for a sign-and-trade. Does that help Josh Giddey much? I really don't think so, because it feels, at this point in time, it feels like the agent floating something out to help the negotiation. That's what it feels like. Now, I could very well be wrong on that, but where things stand right now, that's what this feels like. The quote from Jake Fisher saying this: I'm told that the Warriors continue to value Giddey's skill set and have communicated their interest to the Australian point guard's representation. There simply does not appear to be a feasible pathway to such a trade. On top of that, I mean, Jake Fisher reported himself the first time he talked about this is the sense that the Bulls don't want to trade Josh Giddey. And that just comes down to it. They want Josh Giddey here. They just want it at a certain number. Now, you know, the thing that this stirs up in Bulls fans and Josh Giddey stands and all the type of thing and people who are between the two, right? It is what it is. Like, this is negotiations apparently for this level of restricted free agency, this year in restricted free agency, I should say. If the Bulls were the only team doing it, I would criticize them more for it. But same things happening with Jonathan Kuminga. Same things happening with Cam Thomas. Same things happening with Quentin Grimes, right? Like, the same thing is happening for all these bigger restricted free agents. And so therefore it's like with the second round picks in the NFL this past season, right? How it got to a point where one of the second round picks was guaranteed their deal or negotiated their deal. Then it got to a point where you slowly started trickling in and all the guys eventually signed their deals. Now we got to wait and see, right? What is it going to be with Josh Giddey? Which side gives up both sides hopefully are going to give up something in this deal. Who gives up the most to make this deal happen? It's still best, and despite what some Bulls fans will tell you, it's still best that Josh Giddey sign a contract and does not play on the qualifying offer. Because signing on the qualifying offer, yes, you could bet on yourself, but keep in mind, the Bulls have, how they play you is important. The role that you play in there is important. Injuries can happen, right? I always say, and maybe that's just me being on the air of more caution, is that there's always more ways that can theoretically hurt your value before you go back on the market than help it. Of course, goes out and balls out, plays well, is going to tremendously help his value. But any type of injury, which he had two major ones last season, any type of falter in play to where you get benched for in fourth quarters again, that's going to hurt your value once again, right? So it's not as simple as where I see some Bulls fans saying, play on the qualifying offer, he'll more than make up the $9 million. It's not, because again, if the Bulls and free agents, people who sign the qualifying offer typically do not return back to their teams. And at that point, are the Bulls going to be invested in even playing? It's going to be, hey, all right, bet. Hey, shout out to Josh Giddey, you signed the qualifying offer. Now our backcourt, we're going to focus on is Io and Kobe. And I'm not saying that that's the best for the team. I'm not saying that's the best for trying to win, but it may be the best for the management of their assets. And that's what you have to look at as well. It sucks. Being in this situation sucks, and hopefully a resolution is met on this sooner rather than later, but even signing a three-year deal is much more beneficial to Josh Giddey to get back out there in free agent market, make more money, bet on yourself, that type of thing, than taking the qualifying offer. Now, the qualifying offer is still there. It's always the most nuclear option, and if Josh Giddey and his representation say, you know what, fuck the Bulls, to be frank, let's take that qualifying offer, let's get the hell up out of here. It still is a very much a big option there. And so the Bulls got to watch that. We'll see how they handle this situation, and I guess we'll just watch it. But in that same new reporting, Jake Fisher did float around that the Bulls could potentially wait on Jonathan Kuminga next offseason. And not just if he signs a qualifying offer, best believe the Chicago Bulls are probably going to be one of the first teams there, unless Modest takes a huge step and Noah shows himself to be different, right? Is that if he signs the qualifying offer, Bulls are probably going to be one of the first teams there. I think a lot of teams are going to be there. I think you see these restricted free agents not have these big markets necessarily just because of the nature of restricted free agency, right? So Jake Fisher pivoted or threw that out there. Also, there could be a team that is interested in Jonathan Kuminga, even if he does sign a shorter-term contract with the Golden State Warriors, because they're going to be looking to move him at that point in time. And the Bulls, with the cap space that they have in 2026, could be one of those suitors. So, you know, prepare for a whole nother round of this Bulls Jonathan Kuminga stuff heading into next season, unless a team does sign and trade for Jonathan Kuminga this offseason. But if Kuminga ends up taking a deal, any type of deal with the Golden State Warriors, whether it be a three-year, shorter-term deal or the qualifying offer, the rounds of the Bulls being interested in Josh Giddey, we're going to do a whole nother round of that next season with the speculation. So, we'll see how that works out. Jake Fisher throwing that in at the end of his report is like, here we go, right? But with that said, moving off of that news, Sports Illustrated presented a trade to send RJ Barrett to the Chicago Bulls and signed for Patrick Williams, Javon Carter, and a future first-round pick. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not even somebody, I don't want to see the Bulls give up any first round picks. Right now, with where the Bulls are, I personally think that we should be holding on to all of our first round picks, even the Portland pick. The Portland pick looks like it's most likely to convey than any other time than we've had it, right? So I want to be clear there. That is my baseline. Until the Bulls are a playoff team, not a play-in team, are a playoff team, meaning qualify for the playoffs as a top six seed, until they do that, I'm not willing to trade any first round picks unless it's a star, true star, not somebody who could become a star, but a true star level acquisition, right? So that's where I'm at with that. But I won't lie and say that if this deal were anything close to being a possibility, I'd have to be a little bit interested in it. Is RJ Barrett great? Is he some player that's franchise altering or changing? No, but you know what he does fit? He fits the mold of AK saying young players with experience. At 25 years old, he only has 2 years left on his deal. So even though his deal is $27 and $29 million over the next 2 years, it's 2 years less than Patrick Williams' contract. And a player that we at least know is going to be able to actually be productive consistently. Now, is he some great defender? No, not at all. Not even remotely, right? Does he play a position? Does he fit next to Josh Giddey or Kobe White? I got some questions there. But when you're 25 years old, right, and you have averaged over 20 points per game for 3 straight years, and 4 years out of your NBA career, you've averaged over 20 points per game. That's production we just are not getting from Patrick Williams at all. And so, you know, you would be getting the talent back in that. And losing Patrick Williams and Javon Carter is a misnomer. Like, we're not even worried about losing those. So you're really losing if you send those two out. So that is the type of move that I wouldn't necessarily be mad. I have some questions on the fit. How are you going to play with Giddey, Kobe, and R.J. Barrett, right? Are you going to play R.J. Barrett at the three, which I guess is possible. He has played some 3 minutes over the course of his NBA career, so maybe you can get away with that. I have some doubts on the front court of the 1-2-3 of Josh Giddey, Kobe, and R.J. Barrett defensively. But what that also would do is give you your starting three while you wait on Noah Essanay to become a starting caliber player. At that point in time, at the end of those 2 years, you're hoping that Modest is taking his step up. You move him to the three, you slide in Noah Essanay at the four. So I can even see that pathway forward, and it makes a little bit more sense with his ability as a 35% three-point shooter last year. Not the greatest, right, but he took 5.3 last season. Again, has averaged over 5 rebounds a game for his career, over 3 assists a game for his career. Last year, he was up to 5.4 assists. So, you know, I can talk myself, because you're giving up Patrick Williams, Javon Carter, and if it's the Portland first, I can kind of convince myself of it. In no way in hell do I think that the Raptors will go for that deal, though. But I guess we shall see. Sports Illustrated posted it. I'm just not keen on giving up any type of first-round picks as things stand right now. But I guess we shall see what's going to happen there. But let me know what you guys think on that trade and that what was presented and how you guys feel. Now, moving on from that, there was an article over on Pimp It Ain't Easy in which they talked about the Chicago Bulls front office and being deemed difficult to deal with. This stems another from Jake Fisher's report, the first one that happened a few days ago, right? Not the one yesterday. Saying this is exactly a quote from Jake Fisher. Yet it's likewise true that more than one rival front office has indicated a reluctance to try to engage with the Bulls in sign and trade discussions. Now, whatever reason that's for, the fact is that the NBA relationships matter. And I think that's why you see, if you go back and look, you'll see that teams work with the same teams quite a bit, whether as this third team in the deal or whatever else, because those relationships matter. And here's what I'll tell you. As much as we're worried about the development internally from the Chicago Bulls, relationships with other front offices should be something that's as big of a concern. You know why? Because that's what gets things done in the NBA. And if you're having teams that are reluctant to work with you, that's not good. And that's a concern over the next 3-4 seasons that we have this front office that are under contract. If you have gotten to the point so bad that you've messed up your relationships with other NBA GMs, that typically is not bode well for you, unless you're just so great at drafting, or you're so great at your player management, or you're so great at your relationship with agents. If you have a great relationship with agents, sometimes you can overcome not having the best relationship with other front offices, because those agents, depending on how powerful they are going to be able to push some things through. That should be a big concern. That should be a big red flag for a lot of Bulls fans, is that people don't want to work with AK and Eversley. Again, it's just Jake Fisher saying that, so take that for what you will. But if this is true, and if this is legitimate, this is a big concern, and a concern that should be taken seriously, because you need to have relationships with other teams to get things done. And while for a long time Bulls fans have thought, rightfully so, and I understand it, that, oh, well, teams must lick their chops to work with Acme because they make bad moves, it seems like the stubbornness of this front office has been something that's graded on other front offices, and that is a huge issue. The relationships in the NBA is a huge, huge thing that can get things done. So if we see more stagnant moves, it may not be because AK isn't trying to get it done. It could be that teams just don't want to fuck with the Chicago Bulls. And if that's the case, and I mean, well, don't want to work with the Chicago Bulls. If that's the case, it's more bleak than what people are realizing. And we shall see how that, like I said, if you have great relationships with agents, you draft very well, you have great player relationships, then you can overcome some of that. If not, it's a bit of a concern.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But all right, you know, Monday's for overflow. Let's catch up on these voicemails that we missed out over the weekend. This first one, this one's from Rob.
Hey, it's Big Rob. Many blessings to you and your family. I wanted to give you one question and just one comment, and I just wanted your honest opinion. The comment I wanted to make, because I just watched your mailbag. It's Saturday morning, to let you know about Bulls fans and management. The only thing I would just say in a nutshell, AK hasn't done nothing horrible. I think the frustration is the lack of movement sometimes and the timing of it. I think that's the only thing I would get on him is if, hey, you're offered these amount of things, strike while the iron's hot. But again, maybe there's more internal things that maybe we don't know about. So I have to understand from perspective, I speak as a fan. I can't speak as a manager because of who ownership is. But I also know this. AK may not have the record like some people say Garden Packs, but last I checked, he's never fought a coach, swung at him. He's never done anything to insert himself to be intimidating the coach to do this, this, and this. So it's just a different approach. He's just a different type of cat. You know, obviously, maybe not to our liking, but at the same time, I will say he's not the worst. You know, he's more of a in the middle, in between. Which leads to this question. Because we have next year coming up, and we have all of these players that are going to be either due for an extension or are eligible for an extension, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, obviously Dalen Perry, Julian Phillips. Out of those four, who's more realistic in re-signing to an extension? Because personally, I would keep Huerter just from a shooting perspective. But if I'm just looking at age, I would probably pick Dalen Perry because he's getting better opportunities. But I just wanted to know from you, out of those four, who's realistically the most likely Bulls player to get the extension? Again, I appreciate the time. God bless you.
He hasn't done anything horrible. I think when you go and start looking at the combination of moves that AK was either late on, missed on, or whatever else it is, I do think that adds up to something horrible. I definitely do. And, you know, that's just me personally, how I look at it. Now, again, all that is rumored. It's not like we know exactly what every team, but like between the initial Zach LaVine trade offer by the New York Knicks, the 2 second-round picks for Andre Drummond, the reported package for Alex Caruso, the reluctance to move off DeMar when everybody saw you probably weren't going to be retaining him, all those type of things add into something. Now, we did end up getting Josh Giddey out of that. Out of the Zach LaVine trade, we end up getting our own first-round pick back, which we were able to get Noah Esengay because of, and we don't have to worry about future picks. But at the same time, it's just the combination of everything and how they added up over time, bit of a concern there. So, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. As far as Huerter, Zach Collins, Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, which one of these players get an extension? Well, Julian does have 1 year left on his deal after next season, so I'm going to remove him just because of that. But out of Collins, Huerter, and Dalen Terry, my mind goes to Kevin Huerter first, like you, because of his shooting ability. But then I think about Zach Collins. And with the future of Nikola Vucevic not being certain, right? And you know, most Bulls fans will tell you they don't want Vuce back. And then even if we do draft a young center, I think that Zach Collins becomes important at that point. Zach Collins is somebody who can start. He can come off the bench. So I'd probably say Zach Collins situationally because of where the Bulls are. But if we're talking about just talent, I'd agree with Kevin Huerter for what that's worth. And is that a bit of a cop-out on your question? Maybe, but that's my genuine answer. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Josh.
Yo, what up, Hayes? Chicago Bulls Central. This is Josh out in Arizona. I'm just calling today to make two hot takes. First, to start off with, I agree with your point that for the Bulls, Acme has, as we see it, officially, you know, chosen to go in that more slower paced direction, building through the draft and going with the young guys. I agree with that it might take two to four years, three or so seasons till like we're consistently winning, you know, playoff contending, a playoff conference contending type of team. But, however, I do want to say first with this first hot take is that during that whole process, I believe that with the new system from Billy Donovan and the players that we have on our team, it's a young squad. They're fast. They run a lot. Ball down the floor. They're not old, unlike, you know, the DeMar DeRozan, LaVine squad. I do believe that we'll be one of the more funner teams to watch in the NBA. I'm not going to lie. I do believe that this year we will put the NBA on notice just with how the Bulls look when they play. You know, a lot more highlights and flashy plays. So, you know, NBA might, you know, show us a little love on IG or something, you know, posting that up. But, yeah, I do believe although we are in the slower process, we might see a lot more Bulls fans come around to the idea of the team because they're just going to be fun to watch. And then on this second hot take, next year I do believe that the Bulls will make it to the playoffs. I know everybody is saying that we're a play-in team and whatnot. If we do end up in the play-in team again, I mean, as a play-in team again, which I do think we'll be hovering around there, like maybe that 7th, 8th spot, I do believe we'll make it to the playoffs. Now, to a second round, I can't say, but yeah. Or I also believe if, you know, that March basketball is the same, we could sneak into that, you know, 6th spot. So tell me what you think. Have a good one.
2 to 3 years, the Bulls being a contending team. I mean, listen, if that's the turnaround time, if the Bulls are a contending playoff team, right, actually in the playoffs, winning, and I look at it as, can you win? Are you the favorite to win one of the, or can you win the first round series? If they can do that, I'm not going to hate that at all. Of course, I would like to be, but that's a reasonable timeline on from a team that's won one playoff game in like 10 years to being a legit contender in the next 2 or 3 years, a playoff contender. I'm not really necessarily mad at that. I do agree with you that the Bulls are going to have a fun play style. And if you're progressing in the wins each season over the next 2 or 3 years, yeah, even better. I think that's good. I think the NBA is going to realize that. I think we'll have some national TV games, but I think there's so much up in air. We don't know if Josh Giddey's coming back technically. We don't know if Kobe White, I would assume, was coming back technically. We have so much of a roster that's up in air. As the Bulls start solidifying that, and if we are that team that are actually a playoff team and playing a fun, more modern style of basketball, we're still the Chicago Bulls. The NBA is going to put us on TV. Not to say that really matters. To me, I don't care about that part of it. I care more about, are we winning basketball games? And hopefully. And then you say the Bulls are a playoff team. Ultimately, all I can say is, let's hope so. Let's hope so. And if we are, great, because then a lot of people can stop bitching. But all right, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one's from Jerry.
Hi, Hayes. This is Jerry Wilkinson. And I just wanted to give you a few thoughts. First thing, the Bulls need to draft a big center. I'm talking 6'11", 7-foot center, a big man. Defensive-minded, more than offensive-minded. And they need him in the draft. Also, I'd like to see him pick up Nick Richards. I think he's a good candidate to be second or third center. And I think Vooch, I think he should be your number two or number three center, and sign him after this season to a much lower contract if he'll accept that. I really want to see a lot of Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips and see what they got this year. I think there's all the potential in the world for both of them, but just need to see more if they can get some time. Also, another big thought I have, I would prefer to see Io come off the first off the bench, sixth player. He just brings a lot of spark to the team, and I think he would be important to be there first off the bench. And that's really about all I got to say. Otherwise, I think the team is isn't going in a perfect direction. Hopefully by the first of the year, the forwards will start getting more time to play. Matis, you know, he's going to get his minutes. But I'm thinking about Essanga. Hopefully by the first of the year, he'll start getting more minutes and getting used to the play of the NBA. All right. Thank you. Have a good week. Bye.
Bulls definitely need a defensive rim running shot blocking center. Now, that's easier said than done to go out and get that guy. But I think that, and I have a whole episode on how that mode of center fits perfectly into what we have and what we look like we're building towards here with the Chicago Bulls. If we get that, great, right? It's not as easy, though, as just saying and identifying that. You have to either be aggressive or the draft board has to fall your way. You have to go out and get that player, right? So we'll see if the Bulls can do that. I doubt, though, that Vooch stays on as a backup. If he does, I'm not mad at Vooch as a backup at all, right? I'm just not, especially if we continue to improve the defense around this team. But I do think Vooch, if he's going to back up a team, I think he's going to be on a surefire contender. And the Bulls really aren't that. I do think Vooch will accept a backup role. I just don't know if he'll accept that for a team the caliber of the Chicago Bulls. It's a lot different sitting on the bench for a team projected to win 40 games than sitting on the bench for a team projected to go to the conference finals. It's a very big, a different thing. So, you know, we'll see what ultimately comes of that. But I'm not mad at Vooch staying around on a backup if he's willing to do that. And then as far as Io, I do think Io can be a really good six man. I think regardless, Io is going to play starter level minutes. I think that his impact, as long as he's healthy, has already been there. And we'll see what happens with Io Dosunmu. But, you know, you do kind of, if you can find that spark plug off the bench, if Io can be that defensively or offensively or a combination of the two, great. That helps the bench. That helps solidify those things. Him, Trey Jones coming off the bench could be really big for this team. And I think Io and Trey Jones, for that matter, once Noah does start getting in the games, could be really good for him out in transition as well, with both them being really good shot creators in transition. So I think that's a big part of all of this as well. But great voicemail there, Jerry. First time caller, I believe. So thank you for leaving that voicemail. That's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.